Praise you, Jesus. Are you ready for the Word? Let's get started. Open your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 1. This is our Christmas message. Amen. But it's not going to be the normal Christmas message that you regularly hear. That Mary had a little lamb and his name was Jesus. Amen. How many know Jesus grew up? Ephesians chapter 1. Let's just go straight to verse number 22 for the sake of time. I've got so many verses to cover. It says, and to put all things under his feet. Amen. Whose feet? Jesus' feet. And gave him to be the head over all things, which is over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Now, when a young child, when he's young, he's got a lot of growing to do. Amen? And even when he grows up, when he gets, you know, a full stature, man or woman really, but he's not fully developed, we say they have to fill out. Amen? I'm still waiting. I've been filling out the wrong direction. I'm still waiting for the filling out the right direction. Amen. You know, they say, well, yeah, he's tall, but he got to fill out yet. Amen. And Jesus, who started as a baby, grew up into full manhood. Amen. But when he left the church in charge to finish a work that he had begun. Amen. And it says here that the church is his body that filleth all in all. See, when he left, there was some unfinished work. There was some release of power that hadn't manifested yet. There was a harvest to be brought forth. Jesus sowed himself as a seed to manifest the church as, how can I say, the fruit of him sown as a seed. And now we are his body. We are the continuation of what he started on the earth. And God needs the body of Christ now to fill out. To come into full maturity, full growth, full manifestation of everything that Jesus carried. Amen. And this is, we are the body of Christ. We are the continuation of what baby Jesus was born to do. Do you follow me on that? I liken it to this. When Jesus rose to heaven, he assigned the church then to take over his work. And each of us become like individual cells. The body, the Bible calls us members of the body. Individual components of the body of Christ that come together to complete our assigned task, which is to bring in the glory of God and to bring forth God's harvest. Amen. And to fellowship with our Creator God. And so, we are His body. Go on over to chapter 3. It says, verse 4, whereby when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. Now it says we and the Jews together are supposed to be parts or members of the body of Christ. You are a member of what used to be the baby Jesus. Do you follow me? You're a part, a component of the body of Christ being filled out, going from faith to faith and glory to glory. Amen. We're what God is developing to fill the earth with the glory of God. Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 30 says, for we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. We are members of the body of Christ. Do you follow me on that? So you are so connected to Jesus. If you're born again, you're supposed to be so connected to Jesus, you're functioning as a part of his body yourself. Under the direction of him as the head. And God is training us, He's developing us, He's raising us up, He's anointing us to function in totality as His body on this earth, to fill all things. Now, with that being said, turn over to Isaiah chapter 46. We're going to get to the Christmas message yet. Isaiah 46. I told you I had a lot of scripture. And verse number 9. Remember the former things of old. For I am God and there is none else. I am God and there is none like me. Declaring the end from the beginning. One of my most favorite principles in Scripture. God said He declares the end from the beginning. And from ancient times the things that are not. Yet done saying, my counsel shall stand and I will do all my pleasure. Now here God says He declares the end from the beginning. I believe He gives us a principle whereby God says what I'm going to do in a future time, I've already set forth a pattern of it in the past. Did you follow me on that? When we study in the New Testament, the life, the birth, the works of Jesus, the prophecies of the end times, we can go to the Old Testament and see it prophesied. We can not only see it prophesied, we can see patterns of it in Scripture. We see a pattern of the crucifixion of Jesus through Abraham and his son, through Isaac, amen? And you can look all through Scripture and find whatever God says I'm going to do, He's got a pattern of it where He's already done it. Do you follow me on that? And what I want to set forth this morning, we'll go ahead and get to the bottom line, is the birth of Jesus was one of the most supernatural events ever to take place in time, if not the most supernatural. Not counting all of creation being birthed. Are you following me? The birthing of Jesus, that event and everything that surrounded it, was a pattern established of supernatural event and divine appointment after divine appointment to bring that to pass. And God, who declares the end from the beginning, if baby Jesus was born under supernatural, divinely orchestrated events, then I set forth to you today and tonight that God's going to finish the work on the church as the body of Christ. The finishing work, the culmination of everything baby Jesus started, He's got to finish it in the same pattern. It's got to be supernatural in fashion. See, so much of the church has got this mindset that we're just hanging on till Jesus comes. And after the rapture, which I might say is a supernatural event, amen, that after the rapture and we're off the planet, then supernatural stuff will happen. And of course, most of that's bad during the tribulation. Most of the church has really set aside any expectation or anticipation for supernatural occurrences. Amen. Because the soulish mind is so trained up and raised in natural expectation, in projection of the future based on what they've experienced in the past, they have problems believing in miracle power being manifested now. Amen. If it does not appear reasonable to the natural mind, the natural man doesn't receive it. And most Christians operate out of the natural man versus the spirit man. And again, what I want to show you is we're going to go through this story of the birthing of Jesus. Supernatural event after supernatural event that took place. And if God set forth visitations, angelic appearances, divine appointments, miracle after miracle in the birthing of Jesus, how do you think He's going to finish the work on the church filling all things? It says in Ephesians 1, we're the church is to fill all things. Fill it with what? Church building programs. Three-color tracts, you know, woe is me doctrine. To fill all things, as being stated by God, must mean filling all things with the glory. Filling all things with supernatural power. Filling all things with the love of God that passes knowledge. Amen. Filling all things with Him, which is going to be supernatural in itself. We have a finishing work to do. Amen. Look at Romans chapter 9. I want you to be happy this morning. In expectation this morning. Romans chapter 9, again, another verse I love. Verse 28 says, "For he will finish the work." See the word work there? If you look it up in the Greek, it's the word logos. What does logos mean? Word. He will finish the word. How many know Jesus is the Word made flesh? So when God says He's going to finish the work, and really Word here, what He's talking about is I'm going to finish the works of Jesus. I'm going to finish the full manifestation of the Word of God, including all the prophecies of end time glory, including everything decreed about my harvest coming, about the love of God being poured out. I'm going to finish it. Do you see that? He says He will cut it short in righteousness, because a short work will the Lord make upon the earth. Now, first of all, God's given us a shortcut through righteousness and revelation. When you find out that you're the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, and you really go get a hold of that revelation you got it down inside of you, it accelerates your spiritual growth and development. It accelerates your being able to receive the blessings of God by faith, because all of a sudden you know, because you're righteous, you have rights with God and you're in right standing with the Father. Do you follow me? No longer can condemnation rob your blessing. You receive it because you know that you are a child of God. You are righteous with God. Again, righteousness is not what we do. It's who we are. Righteousness is the free impartation of a sin-free nature on the inside of you. A sin-free spirit, man, given to us through faith on the cross. Amen. So God says, I'm going to cut it short. I'm going to accelerate things through righteousness. I believe one of the most vital revelations we must get in the end times is the revelation that we've been made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Not as an excuse to sin, but as a tool to accelerate our growth and enhance our faith. Amen. But here God says, I'm going to cut it short. In other words, I'm going to compress time. I'm going to do everything I used to do that used to take place over a long period of time. I'm going to compress time and do it rapidly. See, if we look at the birth of Jesus, we see a rapid compression of miracle events. From the time Jesus was a baby until he's baptized at the River Jordan, we never see him do another miracle. We really never see another miracle take place, none recorded in Scripture. The only event we have record of in Scripture from the time he was a baby till the time he was baptized is at 12 years old, he stayed back in Jerusalem studying with the teachers. Amen. But no miracles are recorded. Amen. Just that he's studying about the Father. But in the birth of Jesus, we're going to see miracle after miracle after supernatural event after supernatural event, all compressed in time, to bring forth a manifestation of the Savior. And I believe as the end lays a pattern, as the beginning lays a pattern for the end, we're going to see again a compression of the miraculous, of divine appointments, of supernatural manifestation like never has taken place in all of eternity on this planet. Amen? Why? Because God's got a finishing work He's going to do. He says, I'm going to cut it short. I'm going to accelerate everything. I'm going to compress time to cause it to take place in a short period. You can't use your past experience to project your future anticipation. Amen. We expect the Word to be manifested rapidly. Praise God. I wouldn't be surprised if when the glory hits, God harvests the whole planet in a month. I mean, the glory hits. People are going to flock to the altars. Again, I'm not prophesying that. I'm just saying it could happen. He's accelerating things. Could be in a week. I mean, in Jerusalem, on the day of Pentecost, which go ahead and turn to Acts chapter 2. On the day of Pentecost, 8,000 people are saved in a week. 3,000 the first day. Laying forth a pattern. Acts chapter 2. Verse 1, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, oh, there's a fullness. There's a completion that takes place. The church had come into one accord. They were all one accord in one place. They'd gotten divine order. Amen. They'd taken care of the rebellion through Judas. Amen. They'd been taught 40 days by Jesus. The day of Pentecost was fully come. They were with one accord in one place. And suddenly, there's another acceleration word. There's another instantaneous manifestation. Suddenly, there's another compression of time. I'm talking way beyond their expectation. And suddenly, there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now we'll stop right there in this passage. But this is a supernatural event. I mean, people are filled with the Holy Ghost. 120 of them right there. Begin to speak with other tongues. A sound comes in like a rushing mighty wind, and the power of God drops on them. This event was the birthing moment of the church. The disciples have been saved the day Jesus rose from the dead. You find at least the 12. This is not salvation coming to man. This is the church being birthed. Amen. The body of Christ, the mantle being passed from Jesus as individual man, the mantle being passed to Jesus as the body of Christ. Do you follow me? He told the disciples, he says, I must go so the teacher can come. I must go so you can finish my work. As long as I'm in the earth, amen, I'm the focus of all things. But when I go, when I ascend to heaven, then you'll receive the mantle I have. The Holy Ghost will come to you, and you can do the greater works that I've started to do. Are you following me on this? Jesus rose to give us His equipment package. And now on the day of Pentecost, this power, this mantle of the Holy Spirit, not this indwelling of the Spirit, they already had that when they were born again. The day that Jesus rose from the dead, it says He breathed on them and says, receive ye the Holy Ghost. They got saved then. But now here comes the indwelling power of God, the baptism of the Holy Spirit that gives them the power of God. What happened? Now they're carrying the same anointing Jesus carried. The same power source is now on their lives that He walked in. Do you follow me on this? So we see in this process, baby Jesus born, we'll see supernaturally. The day of Pentecost, the mantle's passed on to the body of Christ to operate supernaturally. I mean, that was a supernatural event. And now we still have the church, their assignment to rise up and develop and fill all things to become the fullness of Jesus Christ on the earth, yet to take place that we're now in the birthing of. Do you follow me? We're in another birthing, a birthing of the glory of God to take us to the fullness of God's purpose. Amen. The birthing of Jesus was supernatural. The day of Pentecost was the birthing of the church. It was supernatural. How do you think God's going to finish this work? We must be in anticipation for the supernatural. See, what I have to do and what we have to do is just to come to this church, how many know, can be a spiritual awakening for some people. I mean, just to come here and all of a sudden people are falling out on the floor and, you know, people are praying in tongues and people are being healed. For some people, that's almost too much of a shock to handle. Well, it has been too much of a shock for many to handle. And we have some come in the last 5 minutes, right back out the door. There they go. Some people are not ready. Their souls have not been put in an expectation to a high enough level of the power of God. You've warned some of your friends. You said, hey, come to church with you. You'll see some miracles. You'll see the power of God. And they came in and they looked like a deer in the headlights. Amen. I mean, you warned them. You gave them advance, you know, notice. It's not going to be normal church. So here they come in and pow, there's the power of God. Next thing you know, they don't want to come back. I know several people that aren't here that came one time and their soul was not ready to embrace it. I'm going somewhere and God's orchestrating this mess, as I can tell. What I've got to do is now move all of us beyond the point of just expecting supernatural to take place when you bring people here. We need to be in anticipation that happens in your life when you're out there. Because God's not just orchestrating a supernatural event in the church building, per se. He wants to orchestrate it in our lives to move into this glory. He wants you to experience your own set of visitations, your own set of supernatural dreams, your own personal miracles in your life and on and through you taking place in other people's lives. He wants to raise each of us up in a supernatural expectation. And that's what I want to create this morning, at least start to create, is supernatural expectation that you're going to see God show up at your house. Show up on your hands. That God's going to do in your life what you never thought He could do and go way beyond what you ever anticipated He might do. That God's going to propel you to places of walking in His power and in His victory you never thought possible. Are you following me on this? We're called to fill all things. So that being said, we're through the introduction. Let's go look at baby Jesus. Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1, have you got it? Verse number 5. And we're going to read through several of these passages extensively, amen? Because we want to pull the meat out of these passages. It says, there was in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zacharias, of the course of Abia, and his wife was of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord blameless. Now here we have Zacharias and Elizabeth who are doing their part to follow God. In other words, they're following the law to the best of their ability. They're making the sacrifices, and because they're walking according to the principles of the sacrifices of the law, it says they were both righteous. Not perfect, but in right standing with God. Amen. Through the animal sacrifices. It says, and they had no child, because that Elizabeth was barren, and they were now well stricken in years. Well stricken in years. They're old. Amen. Past the age of childbearing, I'm sure. And it came to pass that while he executed the priest's office, he's in his position, he's doing his job of God in the order of his course, according to the custom of the priest's office, his lot was to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. Now I want to bring this out right now. There were virtually thousands and thousands of priests in Israel. You follow me? I mean, the Levites. There are thousands of these. Yet here's Zacharias. He was no ordinary priest. He's one that's called to bring incense into the temple. Amen. He's got an assigned time to take incense and burn in the temple, a type of prayer. Amen. So he is a high level priest, not the high priest, but he is up there in his assignments. And so he's taking in the incense, a type of intercession. Verse 10, and the whole multitude of the people were praying without at the time of incense. Here's another indication that incense represents prayer. The people understood when the incense was being born, they were being burned, they were to pray. I'm telling you, a visitation that launched forth the birthing of baby Jesus started with intercession. How do you think God's going to finish this work? So the people are outside praying. And there appeared unto him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. Now, let's help me keep count this morning. I may miss a few, but let's keep count. How many supernatural occurrences we see in this birthing narrative of Jesus coming forth? Because this is talking about Zacharias, who was the father of John the Baptist, who was a key component in this story. Are you following me? And so here we see an angel appears to Zacharias. How many would believe that would be a supernatural occurrence? How many here have seen angels before? You've actually seen an angel. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. You guys have seen angels with your natural eye. I mean, you've seen angels. Not just in your mind's eye. You actually opened your eyes. You saw an angel. Awesome. I know Patty had. Amen. I've never seen an angel. If I have, I didn't know it. Never seen a demon. Amen. Oh, I've seen people carrying demons. Amen. I've never personally, with my natural eyes, seen an angel. I know they're there because the Word declares it, and I've talked to so many people that have seen them. We were here a couple years ago, and one of the girls at the church opened her eyes, and she saw angels over all of us in a group and described them. She's sitting there like stunned looking at these angels. They're there. But to see them is a supernatural manifestation. Do you follow me? So that would be number one. Got it? And when Zechariah saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said unto him, Fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. Now we have a prophecy of a child being born. Prophetic utterance at this level is supernatural. Do you follow me? I mean, let's see who I can pick on. Had to be somebody. We'll go to Linda. Linda, about this time of the year, you'll be married and have a child.
Yeah.
Amen.
Right.
And you should call his name Laughter. Now, I'm not prophesying that, amen. But she found it humorous. Now, had this been an actual prophecy that was real, that'd be supernatural. The angel doesn't just show up and appear. You know, most people like Patty, she saw the angels. She didn't hear him say anything. But she did see the angels come and touch a man. Two angels touch a man who was preaching and strengthen him. Is that right? Okay. She saw angels swoop down when a lady was being prayed for, came beside her and took away whatever was wrong. So seeing them is one miracle. The healing is another miracle. Well, the angel showing up is one miracle. The prophecy is another miracle. I just want you to see how much is taking place in this. Number two. Have you got it? He's got a word. It says, And thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth. For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. And he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb. Now, I'm telling you, this is not just a prophecy. You're going to have a kid. You're going to have a special child. Filled from the Holy Ghost from his womb. I mean, this is a prophecy of greatness. Now, we won't count this as number three. It's all in that prophecy coming forth. But understand, this is supernatural. It says, And many of the children of Israel shall turn to the Lord their God, and he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, and to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Now he's quoting Scripture. And Zacharias said unto the angel, Whereby shall I know this? For I'm an old man, and my wife well stricken in years. In other words, he's saying, I don't believe it. Do you follow me? He's saying, this can't happen. I'm old. My wife's old. Amen. We've given up hope. But watch what the angel says. And the angel answering said unto him, I am Gabriel, to stand in the presence of God. This is not just any angel. This is Gabriel. I mean, he sent the big guy that stands in the presence of the Lord. And I am sent to speak unto thee and show thee these glad tidings. And behold, thou shalt be dumb, talking about can't speak, and not able to speak until the day that these things shall be performed, because thou believed not my words which shall be performed or fulfilled in their season. Gabriel says, because you didn't believe me, you're going to be without the ability to speak until the manifestation of this promise. Now, some would say, well, because he didn't believe, God punished him. Now, I believe because he didn't believe, God had to get a hold of his mouth. He couldn't have Zacharias leaving the temple and saying, an angel showed up and gave me some word about a kid, but that's the craziest thing I've ever heard. That'll never happen. He had to get a hold of his words. Had to have his faith connected. Are you following me? So basically he said, if you can't say the right thing, you won't say anything at all. Number three. Amen. We'll find out in a few minutes that this didn't happen to Mary. Verse 21. And the people waited for Zacharias and marveled that he tarried so long in the temple. He was overtime. Amen. And when he came out, he could not speak unto them, and they perceived that he had seen a vision in the temple. For he beckoned unto them and remained speechless. So there's our number three. He's mute now. And it came to pass that as soon as the days of his ministration were accomplished, he departed to his own house. And after those things, his wife Elizabeth conceived and hid herself 5 months. Number four. She is with child. And they've been barren all of their lives. But now, according to the prophecy, she's with child. We haven't even got to Mary yet. We're already up to four miracles. Four supernatural manifestations. Are you following me? We've got visitation. We've got prophecy. We've got miracles, both where he's stricken dumb, or now Elizabeth is conceived. Two miracles right there. Oh, praise God. Can you imagine what God's going to do in us in the end times? Visitations. Amen. Prophetic declarations. Miracle after miracle. As I was labeling these in Scripture, I just called them wonders. Things that make you wonder. God's going to do stuff through us that's going to make the world wonder. Oh, praise God. And it'll be commonplace to you. It'll be ordinary to you because you have grabbed a hold of end-time expectation. You've grabbed a hold of the potential of living a supernatural life. So the thought to you that God might visit you, an angel might show up at your house and give you an assignment. I'm sure Zacharias didn't think he was anybody special. You follow me? I mean, he didn't even expect this miracle to take place. But yet God showed up. I'm sure Mary, young child, didn't feel special. But guess what? God showed up. You may not think you're anything special, but you're in the right place at the right time. You're open to being used of God. Amen. You're ready to receive whatever God wants to do. You won't shut him down. Get ready for a visitation of God. Get ready for a prophetic assignment on your life. Get ready for God to use you in a fashion you never thought possible. Can you anticipate this? Can you believe for it? Verse number 26, let's go there. We're up to four so far, right? Four supernatural occurrences. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel, now this is after Elizabeth is 6 months expecting, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee, blessed art thou among women. Now here Gabriel shows up with Mary. That would be number 5. Amen. She's actually in a whole other country. Elizabeth is down in Judea. Mary's up in Galilee. The whole land of Samaria is in between them. Amen. There's a good distance between these two areas. And so the angel shows up and says to Mary, you're highly favored of God. Amen. And it says, verse 29, and when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou shalt find, thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and his name shall be called Jesus. Number 6. Are y'all helping me keep count? Number 6. What's number 6? A prophecy that she's going to birth the Messiah. Amen. Not to mention, she's a virgin. This is a major prophecy. Understand, Israel knew Isaiah 14. A virgin shall conceive and bring forth a child. Amen. And the angel Gabriel showed up and says, you're the one. Don't you know every circuit breaker she had in her head was tripping right now? Now, we're not going to go into detail talking about even the lineage of Mary and Joseph, but both Mary and Joseph were the lineage of David. Amen? It was prophesied out of David's seed would come the Savior. Amen. Joseph's lineage came through King Jeconiah, the royal line, amen, that God had declared the seed of Jeconiah would never sit on the throne again. Amen. But it was the royal line. But how many know Joseph's seed never reached Mary in the birthing of Jesus? Mary's lineage came through David through his son Nathan. Amen. The non-royal line. But it was the pure line that was able to reach through Mary who did carry the DNA of David. That through both Joseph and Mary coming through the lineage of David, both of them, amen, a supernatural event took place. It said they could have been the only two people qualified to fulfill the prophecies of Jesus. Both the royal line and the line through Nathan, amen, to bring forth the Savior. So she was not just any girl. She was, I'm telling what, her lineage, I believe, was guided by God to bring forth the Savior. Hers and Joseph's, amen. No doubt their marriage was orchestrated by God. It says in verse 32, He shall be great, he shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. There's no doubt that he's talking about the Messiah. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? Now listen, Zechariah saying how could this be? He was saying, how can this be because I'm old? He was basically saying, what you're declaring is impossible. Even though Zechariah had been praying for a child. The word declares this, he'd been praying for a child. He didn't believe it when the manifestation showed up. At least the word of manifestation. Mary's just saying, how can it happen? I've not been with a man. And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, now here's another key thing, and behold thy cousin Elizabeth, she has also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the 6th month with her, who was called barren. Now, we're going to see that the angel gives Mary a word about Elizabeth conceiving, who the whole family, I sure knew, was barren. You follow me? And Mary's going to use Elizabeth's pregnancy as additional confirmation of what the angel is telling her about her future child. It says, for with God, nothing shall be impossible. In other words, the angel doesn't leave Mary hanging where she says, how can this be? He's saying, we did it through your cousin, and we're going to do it with you. And Mary said, behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. She says, I receive it. Be it unto me as you've declared. I receive it. If this is my assignment, I receive that assignment. You know what she was saying when she received that assignment? You're going to be mocked and scorned and accused of fooling around. But she said, I accept the blessing you're bringing to me. Do you follow me on that? And Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste into the city of Judah and entered into the house of Zacharias and saluted Elizabeth. Now here's this young girl. She's told mom and dad, mom, I got to go see Elizabeth. I had an angel show up and speak to me, and I got to go check something out. What's she doing? She's going in for additional confirmation. Amen. Now we're up to 6 so far, right? So she goes to Elizabeth's house. Verse 41, and it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. Number 7. She just get a little tingle. She didn't get, I think I got a word. The power of God hit this woman. I believe she lit up, glory to God. She's going, the power of God hit me. I've never felt like this before. And starts to prophesy to Mary. Now, we've ministered this before sometime back on Christmas, but what's going on here is a set of confirmations. Elizabeth's got a word from God about the future of her child. Mary's got a word from the angel about the assignment of her child. Both of them conceiving supernaturally, and now they're sharing notes, and God is showing up to confirm one to another to grab a hold of and don't let go of the word they've received. Amen. Because, see, Mary's about to go through major persecution. In her day, for centuries after, she was known by many as an unfaithful woman. Amen. That she had played the harlot and conceived Jesus out of wedlock. And so she needs a word to grab a hold of. Amen. And God's given it to her out of Elizabeth. I believe God had John the Baptist's birth, understand, for his assignment, but also for confirmation for Mary. So they could carry both of their assignments to full term. In faith. Amen. It says, verse 42, and she spake out with a loud voice and said, blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. And whence is this to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? In other words, Elizabeth's prophesying, you're carrying the Messiah. Number 8. We're not even up to the birthing. We're already up to 8 supernatural events we have record of that took place in this process. Divine appointments, visitations, prophetic words, miracle power, fillings with the Holy Ghost. For lo, as soon as the voice of thy salutation sounded in mine ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. And blessed is she that believed, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord. And Mary said, my soul doth magnify the Lord. And now Mary starts to sing. We're not even going to count that one. Amen. But I'll assure you, she was singing by the power of the Holy Ghost. So let's go on over to verse number 57. We're up to 8 supernatural occurrences so far. Amen. In a short period of time. Verse 57. Now Elizabeth's full time came that she should be delivered, and she brought forth a son. And her neighbors and her cousins heard how the Lord had showed great mercy upon her, and they rejoiced with her. And it came to pass on the 8th day they came to circumcise the child, and they called him Zacharias after the name of his father. And his mother answered and said, Not so, he shall be called John. And they said unto her, There is none of thy kindred that is called by this name. And they made signs to his father, how many know he's still mute, how he would have him called. And he asked for a writing tablet and wrote, saying, His name is John, and they marveled all. And his mouth was opened immediately, and his tongue loosed, and he spake and praised God. Number 9, the muteness is lifted. Supernatural occurrence. And fear came upon all that dwelt round about them, and all these sayings were noised abroad throughout all the hill country of Judah. Now this word spreading throughout the country. Amen to this miracle that took place. So this was no small wonder. Everybody knew. Not just that John said he, or Zacharias said he'd seen an angel, but he'd been stricken dumb, now he spoke, and that his wife Elizabeth, who was too old, had conceived. Oh, praise God, the miracle word is getting out. And all they that heard them laid them up in their hearts, saying, What manner of child shall this be? And the hand of the Lord is with him. You know, almost doesn't seem fair. Elizabeth gets a miracle that brings her great fame. Mary gets a miracle that brings her great shame. Amen. But how many know Mary is the one we're going to remember in eternity at the highest level? She's not crying anymore. Verse 67. And his father Zacharias was filled with the Holy Ghost and prophesied, saying, Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, who hath visited and redeemed his people. And so, Zacharias prophesies. Once his mouth is opened. Isn't that neat? The first time your mouth's open, you go straight into prophecy. Is that 10? It's number 10, isn't it? Up to 10 supernatural manifestations. We're not still to the birthing of Jesus. This is all leading up to it. Amen? And I'll assure you, Mary was getting feedback on this stuff as well. Amen. I mean, Mary and Elizabeth linked up and she was saying, Now you keep up with me on Twitter. Let's Skype here tomorrow. I want to know about this baby. Amen. They were staying in touch whatever means they could, I'll assure you. And so, a supernatural birthing of John the Baptist. Chapter 2. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was the first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria, and all went to be taxed, everyone to his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, unto Judea, clear back down to Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David. Amen. To be taxed with Mary as a spouse's wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. Where are they at? Bethlehem. They're in Bethlehem. Where was it prophesied the Messiah would be born? Bethlehem. God orchestrated a taxing through a heathen wicked ruler to get Joseph and Mary to Bethlehem to meet the prophetic assignment. Number 11. And we could go through many of the prophecies of Jesus in his birth and count those as well. But we'll stay with where we're at. It says, verse 7, And she brought forth her firstborn son, there's the baby Jesus, wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. There's a whole sermon in that. Shepherds are supposed to intercede at night. Amen. Watch over their flocks in the darkness. Pastors have a prayer assignment. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord rose, shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. Now here we have number 12. Angel shows up. Number 13, the glory manifests. It's one thing to have an angel show up. It's another thing for the glory to light up everything like daylight. You follow me? It's nothing for the glory to fill the sky. Amen? 13 supernatural occurrences here at this to this birthing where we're at so far. And the angel said unto them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, you shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with them angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." Let's pause right there. Now the angel prophesies, you're going to find the Messiah wrapped in swaddling clothes in a manger. Amen? Is it 14? Then a whole host of angels show up. I'd count that as 15. And you went from one angel to a host of angels. Not many places in Scripture you see the manifestation of a host of angels. I mean, if one angel can kill 185,000 Syrians in a night, you don't need a host very often. But they all showed up for this party. Amen. Showing the shepherds the great event that had taken place. And again, he came to shepherds first. I believe he comes to pastors before he comes to the flocks. Amen. I believe he gives pastors prophetic vision, prophetic revelation, the prophets, the apostles, the pastors. The Father gives them revelation of what's coming. Amen. And what's taking place. Verse 15. And it came to pass as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, "Let us go even unto Bethlehem." There's a great idea. Amen? They want to confirm this thing as well, right? "Let us go to Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us." And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. In other words, you know, Mary's fighting great shame. But God gives shepherds witness of what's going on, and they're spreading the word about this child. And, you know, I'm sure God's saying, "I'm doing what I can to alleviate the shame. I'm letting people know this is a supernatural event." God wanted everybody to rejoice at the birthing of the Messiah. You follow me? He gave notice of it. But people aren't receiving the notice. Just like they're not receiving notice of the end time manifestations taking place now. You can tell people and tell people we're in the end times. Amen? Tribulation's on the way. Glory's going to manifest. God's about to show himself strong. People are like, "Yeah, right, right. Things always continue like they've always been." And that's what was going on here. Even though he's got witnesses and proclaimers of the glory of God, they're not receiving it. Amen. Verse 18, and when they heard it, and all they that heard it wondered, there's the wonder, at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. That's more confirmation for her. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things which they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. And when the 8 days were accomplished for the circumcision of the child, his name was called Jesus, which was so named of the angel before he was conceived in the womb. Amen. So now the child is born. But things don't stop there in this, how can I say, birth season that we're in. So it says in verse 22, and when the days of her purification, talking about Mary, according to the law of Moses were accomplished, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male that openeth the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to that which was said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. In other words, they have to bring a sacrifice to redeem this child to the Lord. Amen. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and the same was a just and devout. The same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. Amen. Here's a man anointed of God waiting for the Messiah. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. In other words, God had given him a word that in your lifespan, the Messiah is going to be born and you will see the Messiah. Amen. He's an expectation. And he came by the Spirit into the temple. All right. Number 15. Are we up to 15? 16. Number 16. He came by the Spirit into the temple. Do you know the leading of the Spirit is supernatural? Do you know most Christians, when you tell them you're led by the Spirit, they think you're crazy? Well, the Lord led me here. Oh, yeah, yeah, right. Why is it that Christians have such a problem believing in the leading of the Spirit? Another problem is so many people that believe in the leading of the Spirit don't know it from the leading in the head. Amen. But he was led by the Spirit to the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation. He knows by the Spirit this is baby Jesus. 17. These are supernatural events. These are things, if you told people they were going to your church, they think you're crazy. Oh yeah, the Lord showed me this person. He prophesied this person. You know, this visitation. Those are supernatural. And they're rejected for the most part within Christianity. At least religious Christianity. Which I was prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. They're getting more confirmation. Amen. Simeon is now prophesying regarding Jesus. Amen. 18. And Simeon blessed them and said unto Mary, his mother, behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. Yea, a sword shall pierce through thine own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. In other words, he's even prophesying of his death. Amen. That Mary was, you know, it was going to be hard on her. And so, what are we up to? 18? We're at 18? And then it says, and there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was of a great age, and had lived with a husband 7 years from her virginity. And she was a widow of about 84 years. So this woman is over 100 years old. Probably pushing 110. She'd been a widow for 84 years. She lived with her husband for 7 years. That's up to 91 years. I'm assuming she didn't get married at 9. She's over 100 years old. Amen. And she departed not out of the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. And she coming in that instant gave thanks likewise unto the Lord, and spake of him to all that looked for redemption in Jerusalem. Now here we have, what was the last number, 18? This is 19 and 20. Once she comes in that instant, that is divine appointment. You need to understand, when somebody's there at a specific time, and it's beyond, how can I say, coincidence that something God orchestrated that's supernatural. And then she prophesies regarding who he is, 19 and 20. 20 events just through his circumcision. Amen. Verse 39, and when they had performed all these things according to the law of the Lord, they returned unto Galilee to their own city, Nazareth, and the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, filled with the wisdom and the grace of God was upon him. Now here we see, I'm out of time. Praise God. Praise God. These are the events we see up through the circumcision. 20 events. What we haven't covered is Matthew's account of what took place that Matthew discusses. And my guess is we'll get there tonight. Amen? Now here's the point. God birthed Jesus into this worldly realm through supernatural encounter after encounter. How much more is he going to do these things in acceleration, a cut short work, in these end times we're in? Get ready for supernatural manifestation. We will see, I believe, in accelerated and concentrated fashion, visitations, not just of angels, but of Jesus. Jesus came to my house with that word I got a few years back. Amen. Sat on the couch next to me. I didn't see him, but I knew Jesus was there. I had a visitation of the Lord. We'll have that, and we'll have it of angels. We will have wonders take place. Miracles take place. Divine appointments take place. Supernatural dreams take place. Anointing being poured out like never before. And of course, prophetic words released. Not to mention, I believe a whole group of other supernatural occurrences are going to manifest. Stuff we've never dreamed about. Miracle money coming forth. Pastor Lee shared a story, if I get it right. Who knows that story about Pastor Lee and the money for the homeless man? You may know that story. Basically, he found a homeless man, didn't have any money. So a homeless man, I believe, sowed what he had. It was just pennies or whatever. They got him a room. And on the table of the room, he put, like, I don't know, some change, all he had. Woke up the next morning, it was $300 on the table. Locked room. Amen. Money just appeared. God is going to do some stuff that's going to cause us to wonder. Amen. But he's got to have a people like Mary that's getting a hold of every confirmation they can. Every word they can get, they're getting in there saying, that's mine. I'm grabbing it. I'm not letting it go. When you hear the sermons, you're going, glory to God. That's to me. Praise God. I'm going to walk by this and watch God move in your life. I'd so much rather have God move in my life supernaturally than have him strike me dumb because I wouldn't believe. Amen. Praise you, Jesus. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for this Merry Christmas season. And we want to keep in mind the birthing of this Messiah, this Savior that you brought to us. But we want to recognize as well our assignment to carry on his work. We thank you for every form of supernatural manifestation you bring us. We thank you, Father, you said you'd continue the work you started in us through Jesus. Amen. We believe we receive that. Thank you, Jesus. Well, look, if you need special prayer for anything...